My name's Laura and I'm a compulsive overeater. I've been a very grateful member of the fellowship since 2011. Came to my first meeting in the February and I was brought along by a family member who was in another 12-step programme. And at that point I'd never really understood what that involved. I knew that he was in another fellowship and I'd heard about things like to do with that on TV and in films and things. But other than that, I didn't really know very much. But I went along because I didn't really feel like I had many options left. I was just really broken and really sad. I'd been fighting for a long, long time with my eating, with my weight, with the food, with my life, with my depression, with lots of things. And different things would work for a time and then they stopped working. Physically, I was about 22 and a half stone when I first came to the first meeting, and that was a weight that I'd sort of dieted my way up to. After numerous attempts at different diet clubs, I would sort of go lose some weight, leave after a few months or a few weeks, and then put more weight back on, and that kind of cycle kept repeating itself. And I'd had a couple of spells where I'd got near a healthy body weight, but it never lasted. And several times I'd, you know, collected certificates or, you know, glittery trinkets from diet clubs to have to bury them in a drawer, and all the new clothes that I'd bought had to be put in black bags and hidden up the loft because I didn't fit into them anymore. And usually that was a matter of weeks or months after getting somewhere down to a normal weight. Eating wise, I was all about sugar and volume. I was definitely a binger and a grazer. I never really realised until I came into Overeaters Anonymous that I didn't really stop eating very often. I would pretty much be eating all day, back and forward, you know, picking up things here and there in between meals, and then having three breakfasts and, you know, two suppers and things, and not even really realising that pattern. My sister and I would have things we called carpet picnics, where if we had been out the night before or if we didn't have much to do that day, we would go to the shops and buy all sorts of exciting foods and bring it back like kids from a sweet shop, and lay it all out on a, you know, the rug on the floor and sit and watch TV and movies and things, and, you know, just pick at that for hours. You know, there was enough food there sometimes to feed five or six people, and we would eat it in the one sitting. And the weight was part of the problem, being that size. I mean, I was a size 26, probably busting into a size 28. It's really uncomfortable being that size. You're very self-conscious. So mentally it's very uncomfortable, but physically, you know, I had really bad joint pain. I felt swollen up all the time. In hot weather, it was just embarrassing how much I would sweat and be so uncomfortable. And I had physical problems, like I had joint pain I had to take, and back problems I had to take painkillers for. My digestive system just didn't work anymore, so I was having to take laxatives because of that. And I had an underactive thyroid, which my GP firmly believed was a result of all the years of yo-yo dieting. I did have spells where I tried, or I did restrict my food intake. I would go all day sometimes on cigarettes and Diet Coke and apples maybe, or vegetable soup or stock cubes, something like that. But then I would get to the end of the day, and the only reason why I was restricting was so I could get to the end of the day to have the party afterwards, which was, you know, the takeaway food, or the trips to the supermarket, buying three, at the equivalent of three meals to eat them all in the one sitting, very much punctuated, and ended off with lots and lots of sugar, particularly chocolate and cakes and biscuits. And mentally, I don't think that anybody who has this problem with food can understand how exhausting it is mentally as well as physically. I don't think a human body's designed to take this type of eating pattern or to have that sort of volume and level of crap put into your system. So I don't think that does well for you physically, but mentally, you know, your body is a machine and it needs to run on decent fuel, and to have all that kind of nonsense put into your body, no wonder I felt exhausted all the time. And I was just, on paper, things in my life, apart from my weight, looked so good. You know, I had a good job and I was had an amazing husband and a nice big house, and you know, I had the luxury of working part-time, and things were just, on paper, things looked amazing. But it was all rubbish. It was all empty and it felt worthless because I was so unhappy. I was living, it was like being on a game show. I was just constantly trying to be this person that I you know, the character that was me, that was Laura, that doesn't really exist. You know, it was all about what I thought people wanted me to be. And the reality was that nobody was putting that pressure on me apart from myself. But it was, I had a great fear in of people really, really getting to know me and what I was really, really like and how unhappy I was, because I felt so worthless and so ashamed that despite being, you know, of reasonable intelligence and having a good job and being very successful at lots of other things in my life, I couldn't stop eating chocolate or bowls of sugary cereal. And it was, oh, excruciatingly embarrassing, that part. I was always trying to be jolly, always the first person to laugh, the life and soul of the party, the person that would get things done, organised. But inside I was just really sad and very, very worried about everything, about everybody. And I thought that made me a very caring person. But actually it just made me very anxious and very controlling and probably not much fun to be around, despite all the effort I was putting into trying to be fun. I was constantly trying to give people advice around, well, do this and do that, and getting really, really angry at them when they didn't do things, because if everyone would just do that, then I would maybe be happy and I could get some peace. I didn't realise that peace was actually what I was looking for a lot of the time, until I came into OA. I'd struggled with depression for most of my adult life. I came into my first meeting a few weeks before my 30th birthday, but I'd been diagnosed with severe depression really from when I was about 21, and at the time that was to do with some serious life events, but since then I'd never really managed to get on top of it for any long period, other than maybe I would do new treatment or new therapy, including some inpatient stays in a private psychiatric hospital, hours and countless money and time and energy with therapists and books and all sorts of things, new medications, on medication, off medication, different types of medication, and I'm a big supporter of medication, because for me my depression is chronic and it needs medication the way that any other medical illness would. But there was a constant cycle to it of, again, never getting peace, never getting any sort of longevity, and I never went more than maybe a couple of years without relapsing in my depression again. And I suppose I never made the connection that perhaps the way that I was eating was having such an impact on my mood. When I look back now over photographs of the kind of the previous sort of 10 or 12 years, there's photographs of me when I'm slimmer or not as heavy as I'd been. And a lot of the time I look quite sad anyway. There are times where I've been in relapse from my depression or coming up to a relapse, I was getting heavier. I was getting heavier day by day. So yeah, when I came to Overeaters Anonymous and I went to my first kind of couple of meetings, I was very frightened by all the God chat. The God chat was unexpected because I didn't know anything about a 12-step program before I came. And actually, you know, there was, at the meetings I went to, there was copies of the steps and traditions up on the wall, and the steps didn't frighten me. The God stuff did. The God stuff really did. But I got such a warm welcome and so many smiling faces, and even people who were, you know, had talked about struggling at that point in time were still just, you know, reached out their hand and came and gave me a hug and wanted to know how I was and told me this was the place I needed to be. You know, I felt very uncomfortable and I was scared, but I found hope, I suppose. And I really had run out of options. I'd done just about everything else that I could think of, so it felt like the last chance saloon. And I decided that I would just start, just go for it, just what have I got to lose kind of thing. So I did maybe 6 weeks of a meeting or two a week. I looked around the rooms for someone who could be my sponsor, and I really looked for someone who had what I wanted, if that made sense. There was some things about their life that we had in common, and I thought that that would be useful in terms of some of the stuff that I thought was going to be perhaps big factors in why I was eating, and what I maybe needed help with. And I looked for someone who I felt I could talk to, and there was a connection there. And I asked them if they would sponsor me, and they said yes. And they explained to me how they had worked, or how they worked the programme and what they did. And And basically what they would be doing in terms of sponsoring would be to just ask me to do the same things. And then hopefully that would work for me too. So I started working with that person at the end of March. And through the work and the reading that we did as part of step one, I became abstinent on the 20th of April 2011. And for me, abstinence is being sober from my food addictions. And food addiction is perhaps a little bit more complicated than some of the other addictions, because it's not a case of with alcohol you put the alcohol down if that's your thing and you're in a fellowship for that. But for food, we have to eat. And some of those food addictions can be behaviours as well as actual specific foods. And for some people it can be under-eating or purging and things like that as well. For me, my food sobriety is no sugar and it's no binging. There are other sort of layers to that. You know, in the early days there was 3 meals a day and not eating in between. Now my routine's changed where it's maybe more like 4 meals a day, but it's the same amount of food, obviously. I also calorie counted in the early days, because for me I had lost all sense of what was normal and sane about portions. I had absolutely no idea, because I had been binging on, 4,000 and 5,000 calories a day as a normal average day for me. So I calorie counted. But yeah, the basics are no sugar. And that's no obvious sugar things like sweets and cakes and biscuits, but I also check the ingredients list of anything that's pre-packaged, and anything that has sugar in the first 2 ingredients I don't have either. And no binges, no eating until I'm stuffed, no buying bags of food, no ordering certain portions, no crazy volumes of food. And thank God, thanks to a lot of hard work in the programme and a lot of loving people round about me in fellowship, I've been abstinent ever since. So April the 20th is my sobriety date. And at the moment, that will be over 3 years and 3 months now that I've been abstinent for that. And that is an absolute miracle. An absolute miracle. I didn't think I would make it to the end of the first day. I didn't think I would make it to the end of the first week. And I certainly didn't think I would make it to the end of the first month. I've never stuck to anything the way I've stuck to this. And I'm not white knuckling it. I'm not on a diet. I've done work and I've asked God, who is my higher power, to help me, and to help me with the things in my life that were causing me problems, and to help me go about my life in a loving and in a peaceful way without all the previous tensions and problems that a lot of the time I was causing myself. And for someone who was pretty much a devout atheist when she came in, God is now everything. You know, it's right at the centre of my programme and at the centre of my life. It's a way of living. And it's not for me personally, it's not about organised religion. I don't go to a particular place of worship. It's a spiritual thing. For me, it's about nature, and it's about the universe, and I suppose a bit of karma, and just trying to do the next best thing to people around about me, to myself. And sometimes that means saying yes to things that I'm scared of. Sometimes it means saying no to things that I want to do because it's not the right thing. Yeah, it's hard work sometimes, it really is, but oh my God, even some of the hardest days that I've had in recovery have been much easier than some of the so-called easy days back before I came to OA. It is hard work, but it's absolutely worth it. You know, if you have a problem with food, then this was the only place for me. And I believe that someone now who, I'm maintaining a 9-stone weight loss, and have been for over 2 years now. And during the time that I've been in recovery, I have been pregnant. I have given birth to my first baby, and I thought that I was potentially infertile because I hadn't been able to sort of continue pregnancies prior to coming into OA. I've went through some of the most difficult times. I've been diagnosed with cancer. My son was really critically unwell and in hospital for many months. I've had to move house because of that situation and live in temporary accommodation for months on end. And all that time, my programme and God and the fellowship was with me. And I genuinely don't believe I would be here today if it wasn't for all this. And I don't mean just, sitting in my house just now recording this. I mean in the world at all. Because I don't think I could have kept on fighting for much longer. I don't think I had much fight left in me. But thank God, it doesn't need to be like that anymore. It doesn't. As it says in the preamble for our meetings, welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, welcome home. Yeah. Amazing stuff. I'm so grateful.